We are at the top of the hour, which brings us to our public hearing, and I know our staff attorney, Mr. Michaels, will be facilitating this particular meeting, and I believe we're going to put the instructions up on the screen so those folks that are joining us online know how to do so. We have moved to a webinar style format, which means visually we will not see your face, but we will be able to hear you. And in order to speak, there's a button at the bottom where it says raise your hand. You do need to hit that button to raise your hand, and our team will allow you access in. If you are joining us by phone, you do have to hit mute, or I'm sorry, you do have to hit star six. Again, that is star six to notify us that you are ready or would like to speak, and to unmute yourself, I believe, is it star six as well?
Star nine to raise your hand, star six to unmute.
Star six to raise your hand and star nine to unmute yourself. And then the other way around, star nine to raise your hand, star six to unmute yourself. Thank you all for correcting me. We'll get you on. And for those of you that are with us, if we have anybody testifying here in person, obviously we'll have you come up to the microphone and introduce yourself, and whether you're representing yourself or an organization. With that, Mr. Michaels, you can take it from here.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As a reminder to all those present, you will be limited to 3 minutes for your testimony. I will let you know when you have reached that time, at which point you need to wrap up your comments. We'll start first with the public hearing portion, which means we are limiting testimony to those items that are on the agenda for finalization. The first is the annual park entrance license options. Is there anyone present in person who wishes to address the commission concerning annual park entrance license options? Not seeing anyone present in person, is there anyone present virtually who wishes to address the commission on this topic? Please raise your hand if so. Okay, I see no one online. We'll move then to air gun hunting. Is there anyone present here in person who wishes to address the commission on the finalizations concerning air gun hunting? Seeing no one, is there anyone present virtually who wishes to address the commission concerning air gun hunting? Okay, I see no one there as well. Moving on, antelope hunting seasons. Is there anyone here present in person who wishes to address the commission concerning antelope hunting seasons? There's no one. Is there anyone present virtually who wishes to address the commission on antelope hunting seasons? And no one there as well. And then finally, the fall turkey hunting seasons. Is there anyone here present in person who wishes to address the commission on the fall turkey hunting seasons? There's no one. Is there anyone present virtually who wishes to address the commission on the fall turkey hunting seasons? No one there as well. Madam Chair, with that, I would recommend that we close this portion and move on to the open forum.
Yes, please do so. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll first hear from Cody Hodson. He is testifying virtually. Cody, are you there?
Yes, can you guys hear me?
Yes, sir. You can begin at any point, and we'll keeping the timer running.
Thank you. This is Cody Hodson. I represent the Black Hills Sportsman's Club in the Black Hills, and there's a petition being brought forward today to limit the non-resident turkey hunters in the Black Hills, and we just wanted to go on record that we fully support this petition, and we're concerned about hunting opportunity for resident turkey hunters, success rates, overall hunter satisfaction. We've got quite a few members that have brought forth concerns about losing hunting opportunities, having a random out-of-state license plates at every roosting tree here in the Black Hills throughout the hunting season. And we'd like you to move forward with this petition. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll next hear from Robert Mahaffey. Is Robert present?
Online,
okay. Robert, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
We can, yes. You can start whenever you're ready, sir.
All right. Thank you, Madam Chair, and the rest of the commission. I'd like to start off by thanking you on behalf of all the state beneficiaries who are thankful with your work as the trustees of our South Dakota Wildlife Resources. So thank you. I am in favor of the petition for the reduction in non-resident turkey tags for the Black Hills. I'm just going to throw this out there that every June, archery hunters or archers come to South Dakota to an event at Terry Peak ski resort for an event called TAC. Every year, about 750 individuals come to that. They shoot for 3 days. It costs them $190 and it is limited. Not everybody can come to it. You have to get a slot for a, we'll call it a tea time. And they come here just to harvest foam targets. It's not even actual hunting. It's just honing your skills. So my recommendation would just be that we're way past putting a cap on this, getting it down to a manageable percentage of non-residents, as well as raising that non-resident fee, because state of Iowa, it's $300 for a turkey tag. And nothing against Iowa, but there is literally nothing exciting about shooting a turkey in Iowa. We have the beautiful Black Hills, and as one of Cody Hodson reported, that also a lot of the residents are tired of the pressure at trailheads anywhere in the hills, and there are so many non-resident cars. Let me back up total archery event thing just so we're clear. A vast majority of those vehicles that are in that parking lot at that shooting event are non-residents. They are willing to come here and spend a lot more money, which sounds like from talk or listening to Deputy Secretary Simpson, you guys could definitely need the money, and we would love to, for you guys to have that money. But I think it's time to start taking care of that resource for us as the beneficiaries, so that the residents of South Dakota can kind of go back to having a little bit more enjoyment in the outdoors, hunting those turkeys. I don't think it's unfair at all. And a matter of fact, if you were to ask most non-residents, they would tell you that they're willing to pay more to come here and take part in our hunting, but as well as also them honoring that those are our resources and not theirs. They're just a visitor at that time and helping support some of the economy to help it. So with that, that is all I have.
Hey, thank you, sir. We'll next hear from Justin Wills. Justin, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Go ahead whenever you're ready, sir.
I run the South Dakota Turkey Hunters Facebook page. We've got about 6,000 members on there now. And I just agree with the petition that needs to go forward. Everything that these other guys have said, it's true. All the people I talk to every year and get questions from about the turkeys in the hills, it's usually at the end of season, all I hear about is the pressure that they had to run into, too many non-residents, all the places they used to hunt are taken over. So yeah, something's got to be done. That's all I got to say.
Hey, thank you, sir. We'll next hear from Chad Schulton. Okay, Chad, can you hear us?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead and whenever you're ready, sir.
Chad Schulton, Spearfish, South Dakota, representing myself as a citizen. I am going to speak to the turkey petition also. 100% in favor of it. I've been spring turkey hunting out here for over 30 years, And the last few years, it's become less enjoyable. And it seems like I'm hunting places to hunt without non-residents more than I'm actually hunting turkeys. So I support that 100%. The data shows we're being overrun with non-residents in tags and harvest compared to residents. And in the last few years, we've lost, as residents, we've lost our second tag opportunity. And as an archery hunter, we've lost a whole week of turkey hunting. And I actually have two non-resident friends that when discussing this with them, they're like all for it because they've seen the increased pressure has decreased the quality of the hunt. So that's all I have to say. And I appreciate you, Madam Secretary, the Commission, and Secretary Roebling, for everything you've done for South Dakota hunters. And I just hope you move forward with the petition. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We'll next hear from Ron Colbeck. Madam Chair, just so you're aware, Mr. Colbeck is here to speak on behalf of the South Dakota Bow Hunters Association. However, he would also wish to address the commission in his own capacity on a separate topic. So we will be giving him two separate three-minute time slots here. Ron, you can start whenever you're ready.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Commissioners, Secretary Roebling. Thanks for giving me the opportunity here. Representing the South Dakota Bow Hunters Association, I want to talk to you about two things. One is the spring turkey season. As I reported last month at your meeting, the South Dakota Bow Hunters would like to get the 1 week early season back prior to the regular season. There is a substantial difference in hunting with a bow and arrow versus a firearm, and needing to get a lot closer to that animal. And in order to do that, need to have it before all this pressure hits the birds. And we did have a meeting with staff to discuss this topic. Staff agreed with our position that it's really not a biological issue. It's really a social issue that we're talking about. From their standpoint, I understand the social issue of wanting to keep seasons simple, if possible. But I want to point out a couple of things, and I'll point out own statistics that are in the proposal, page 28 of your commission book. In the middle there, the spring archery turkey summary, 2014 to 2023, and you'll see there the success rate dropped to 25% in 2023, which was the first year that you took away that early start for the archers. And you see that's the lowest that's in there except for 2018 was 22%. More concerning to me is the satisfaction rating dropping to 5.19%, and the average days hunted dropping to an all-time low of 3.26%. That's telling me that hunters are frustrated. Archery hunters are frustrated, and that's what we're hearing from our members. So asking you to please consider adding back the 1 week early start for the bow hunters. The second thing I wanted to, on behalf of the South Dakota Bow Hunters, testify on is the petition that you'll be discussing. We are in support of the petition as well. I simply point to the increase in non-resident hunters that you see in your book as well, where non-resident turkey hunters in the Black Hills has gone up 100% in the last 5 years. That's alarming. And last year in 2023 is the first year that there's more non-residents than residents hunting the Black Hills of South Dakota. Just don't feel that that's fair to the South Dakota residents. Thank you for that.
Very good. We'll go with your next item.
My next item. The next item I want to talk to you about is the elk raffle selection. And this is my personal position. I see the elk raffle petitions that are proposed there for different nonprofit organizations. I certainly appreciate those organizations attempting to raise funds for worthwhile projects, but I think that our limited elk needs to have that license be available for elk habitat and elk improvement hunting, not pheasants. And so I would recommend that you not approve those requests. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Well, next here from Patrick Weimer. Patrick, can you hear us?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes. You can start whenever you're ready.
All right. Thanks for having me. It was a little hard getting here today. We're actually out in the Idaho bear hunt right now. We just left a bear tree about 20 minutes ago, so I got the service, and here I am. I'm speaking on behalf of myself and other fellow citizen hunters on the lion proposal. I understand that the department is going to suggest that there be no change to the use of hounds within the Black Hills Fire Protection District. This was very concerning to me because in the, I believe, September meeting when our petition was denied, I believe it was asked by the commission that they would like something revised within the lion management plan to be proposed, obviously, at this meeting here. And I clearly remember hearing that they wanted hounds to be implemented in that petition. I think there's a huge concern from other fellow hunters. We're trying to open up some opportunities for us resident houndsmen to be able to pursue lion, and I don't think that it should be out of question. We're doing okay at managing our lions, I believe, but when you look at the big picture, are we managing the lions correctly? We do shoot several of them a year, but are we harvesting the right ones? With hounds, obviously we have the ability to select different animals, rather than spot and stock, where you can't necessarily see a cat on the ground. You can't identify that they're a lactating female. You can't identify that the cat doesn't have a traveling pair or a possible cub stashed up in the rocks somewhere. All of those things are identifiable with hounds. You can get under the tree. You can see if a female is lactating. A lot of times we don't even try to harvest females just because we know that there's a good possibility that she may have cubs. They might not be nursing at the time, but she's still dependent, or they're still dependent on her until upwards of a year. If you look back at a lot of our harvested lions, a lot of them are females within a year, year and a half. Those cats aren't the ones that are going after our deer and elk and turkeys. Turkeys is a big popular topic today. I guess I was unaware of that. But those cats, they're eating porcupines and skunks and badgers and all sorts of other little woodland creatures. That's been proven. There's lots of research out there on that. I'd like to see us to be able to harvest some of these bigger toms and older females. You know, they're the ones that are actually detrimental to our elk herds and our deer herds and our turkey flocks.
Mark, so please wrap up your comments, sir.
Okay. I guess I'm just asking if the commission would do so and do what's right and hopefully help us get hounds in the hills. So I appreciate your guys' time and thanks for everything you guys are doing.
Thank you. We'll next hear from Nancy Hilde.
Hi,
Nancy, can you hear us?
Am I unmuted?
You are, yes. You can start whenever you're ready.
All right. This is Nancy Hilde, president of Prairie Holes Audubon Society, speaking for the society. And I want to thank Game Fish and Parks and their choice not to be offering hound hunting of lions in the Black Hills Fire Protection District, which we oppose. Okay, so we oppose that because of animal cruelty to dogs and lions. Not fair chase provides a huge advantage to the hound hunters versus the boot hunters, and there are many more boot hunters than hound hunters, creates a trespass risk. It disturbs non-target wildlife, livestock, and other human users, and it contributes to the commercialization of wildlife as folks can hire hound hunter guides to significantly increase hunting success. Okay, so now I want to talk about the Mountain Lion Action Plan. We do thank you also for keeping the population goal of 200 to 300. Thank you for that. And now we want to complain about objective two, which is manage mountain lion populations for both maximum and quality recreational hunting opportunities, considering all social and biological inputs. That we're objecting to this title and objective two. And I can't remember it. There might have been something like this about bobcats back in May or something, but we think that there's a wrong kind of equivalency or whatever here, that you're managing for maximum recreational hunting opportunities, but you're just considering all social and biological inputs. We think you have a statutory duty to protect wildlife. I have the quotes here somewhere, but we don't like this. We want you to get rid of that word maximum. And we want to take this moment. I'm going to run out of time. You have almost 10 times as many wildlife watchers in the West, North, Central as you do hunters in the Fish and Wildlife Service 2022 survey. 1.5 million hunters versus 9.7 million wildlife watchers. Now, South Dakota has a Southwick study, which ironically, they did not include wildlife watching at home, but I think they included hunting at home. So this is very skewed because 2/3 of the wildlife watching that the Fish and Wildlife Service knows.
You have reached your 3-minute mark, Ms. Hilding. Please wrap up your comments.
Okay, so we object to the prairie unit having no objectives to have a population of mountain lions, particularly considering that there's a Oglala Sioux tribe in Rosebud has lion populations that they manage for hunting. So you should be acknowledging in the checkerboard where we have mixed jurisdictions that out on the prairie you're...
Please wrap up your comments, Ms. Hilding.
All right. Okay, I'll shut up. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else present here in person who wishes to address the commission on any topic of importance? Is there anyone present virtually who wishes to address the commission on any topic of importance? If so, please raise your hand. Seeing none, Madam Chair, I believe that we have heard from all who wish to address the commission.
All right, thank you, Mr. Michaels, for that. Thank you for everybody who provided some comment for the commission to consider.